Bethel joining us?
I think he will.
Okay, good.
And we'll open up the Mishnah Berurah. We have an extra Mishnah Berurah here if anybody needs.
I stole the Dirshu. Am I allowed?
Take the Dirshu.
This is nice and clear.
We're doing.
These are also.
The main thing is to close the door. That's
yes,
the main thing.
Yes, but I'm just watching them coming in. You start.
Yeah. Don't Tough Mem Gimel, which is on the equivalent of page 32. So we started this yesterday. I'll just clue you in.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the fifth hour on Erev Pesach. Let's say in a perfect day, we would be talking about 10 a.m. 2 hours, a full 2 hours before noon. At noon, chametz becomes osur b'hano, according to the Torah law. The Rabbanan were worried about people making mistakes, so they said the following: from the beginning of the sixth hour, which again on a perfect day would be 11 a.m., till the seventh hour, which would be 12 noon, chametz is osur mid Rabbanan. They made a harchaka, and therefore during that hour, chametz is osur b'hano. You can't benefit from it, you can't feed it to your dog, you can't sell it to anyone. But the fifth hour, they said that chametz is osur b'achila, you're not allowed to eat it. Here they're afraid of a margin of error of two hours, but you're allowed to benefit from it. Now there's not much you can do with your chametz in that short period of time. Especially if you're an owner of a massive otzar, you know, a seller of whiskey, and the whiskey is chametz. So what good is it? What are you going to do with your whiskey?
You're talking about the time from Asur Achila to Asur Panach.
Right, you have that 1 hour left. What are you meant to do with the chametz during that 1 hour? You want to cut your losses, but there's not that much you can do. I mean, if you're single and you want to marry a woman, so you give her a bottle of chametz of whiskey and say, Arayat Makudeshesli. But assuming that you have massive amount of whiskey, what are you meant to do? And this is where we got up to yesterday, that the Mechaber advocates that you sell it to a non-Jew. Because again, since chametz in the fifth hour is mutter b'hano, therefore it's yours, and you can benefit by it by selling it to a guy.
What's the origin of Mechaber's? You can tell me.
That's what we're seeing right now. That's what we're seeing now. The origin of selling chametz to a goy.
So it's here.
Right here. That's it. You're here. You're at the right place at the right time.
Who really don't want to, who they have an aversion to.
Okay, we can talk about that later, but just if you ask me where do we find in Shulchan Aruch selling chametz to a goy, it's right here. You'll see it on the third line in the Mechaber, which
is absolutely legitimate.
Which we covered yesterday. It says, Rashoy Lemochro Li Eino Yehud.
I see.
The Mishnah Berurah doesn't even make any comment on this. You know, our limud is mostly focused on the Mishnah Berurah, but only when he makes a comment. Here, he lets the Mechaber go by. But now the Mechaber adds something else. Afilu harbe biyachad. He's got now masses of whiskey to sell. Shevadai lo yochlenu kodem ha-pesach. The guy is not going to consume all that vast amount of volumes of chametz before Pesach. And we'll soon see that according to Beit Shammai, in such a case, you're not allowed to sell your chametz, but we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. The Mechaber is paskining halacha like Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel allows you to sell this chametz, even though it will not be, there's no way under the sun it will be consumed by the goy before Pesach.
Are the nature of the contracts, are they some sort of condition? New contract.
I don't know that. We'll have to see if the Mishnah Berurah comments on that. I'm only committed to explain the Mishnah Berurah. You know, if we, you know, at the end of the shiur, if you want to talk about other issues, I don't mind. But you know, because I took upon myself this obligation to learn Mishnah Berurah,
we're good.
Say so. Let's try to see what the Mishnah Berurah has to say. So now we're looking at Mishnah Berurah number Dalit. So in the wide lines, it's the third line down. And it says, Harbe biyachad. The Mishnah Berurah wants to know, what's the chiddush here? If you're selling chametz, what difference does it make if it's a small amount of chametz or a large amount of chametz? He says the following. Afilu davar shenikra shem balav olav. Does anybody have a clue what he means here?
Strange lashon.
Yeah, it's just a complicated language. That's why people think the Mishnah Berurah is easy. No. You don't have to come to Rabbi Berzon to learn Mishnah Berurah. You can do it on your own. But I'm telling you, in this case, you might need my help. Again, it depends on what your background is. But if you're not an expert in Mishnah Berurah, he says the following. There's something called Nikra Shem Balav Olav, which means, let's say you own a geshäft, you own a store, and you sell whiskey. That's your livelihood. People know that that store belongs to Yankel Beryl. And now, all of a sudden, they see a guy that's taking over that chametz. Taking over the entire
in that location.
In that location. So the whole invoice, the whole geschäft is now being taken over by a guy.
It's the same concept, similar to in Shabbos. That somebody who gets a guy to do something in his.
I don't know. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't think he's going to mention Shabbos again. I'm committed to the Mishnah Berurah. So if you want to ask me any questions, you know, ask me questions from the Mishnah Berurah if you don't mind. And then afterwards, we'll take a break, and I'll take questions on Shabbos. And somebody asked me in the previous year, when is the earliest time to wear tefillin? I said, wait a minute, we're learning Masechta Megillah now. We're trying to understand when is the earliest time to read the Megillah. Why are you asking about tefillin? I'm not giving a shir on tefillin.
It's okay.
So you understand, that's my problem here. I'm just trying to. Our goal is to interpret the words of the Mishnah Berurah.
That's why I'm saying it's relevant, because it's used in.
Again, if you have a question on the words of the Mishnah Berurah, ask me a question on the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah? Is that okay? That's the, so the name, those are the ground rules. The name, you know, of the store, I don't have too many ground rules.
The name of the store is Yankel's store. Yankel sells the store to John Paul Jones.
Right.
And John Paul Jones is now owning Yankel's store, and it's still called Yankel's store.
It's called Yankel's store only by the spectators. Legally,
everybody knows it as Yankel's
right.
store.
Legally, it belongs to John Paul Jones. Signed the contract and so forth.
We're good.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kigon. Look at this case. Shemachar otsar shel yayin sarav. Yayin sarav is what we call whiskey. Otsar means an entire cellar of whiskey. And everybody knows that that cellar of whiskey belongs to Yankel Beryl. Lo gazrinon. Here's the chiddush of the Mechaber. We're not afraid, sheyachshaduhu, that the Jewish people would suspect Shemachar lo ha-Yisrael b'Pesach, that maybe on Pesach the Jew sold his chametz. Now, we're not going to advocate or validate the sale of chametz on Pesach. We're in the fifth hour. We're getting very close to the Isur chametz. We're about an hour away from the Isur chametz. The clock is ticking. But you're allowed to. Why? Because right now, chametz is mutar b'ano. You don't have to worry and concern yourself looking over your shoulder. What is the neighbor going to see? What is he going to say when he sees that John Paul Jones has taken over my otzer shel yayin sarav? Sheyiru sha'aku machzik ben b'pesach. You know, his Jewish neighbor will suspect him that he must have sold it on Pesach itself. But kevan shemachalo al kol panim b'shah hamuteres limkar, since at the end of the day he sold the store or the otzer, while at a time period when it was mutter to sell it, that's okay. In many cases, even though you're allowed technically to do something, to engage in a certain activity, the Chachamim were afraid of what's called chashad. Chashad means people will think, hey, what's he doing over here? Like, for example, in the case of Ner Chanukah, if he has a house that has an opening on one side of the street and another side of the street, the Gemara says it's chashad, because they only saw Ner Chanukah when they went on this side of the street, but those who were traveling on the other side of the street, they didn't see any Ner Chanukah.
Is that different than Maror Sayim? Or is it October?
Very similar to Maror Sayim. Again, you'd have to really study that in great depth. There are differences between the two. Okay. So now we would have thought, if not for the Mechaber, that there's a tremendous chashad here. People are going to suspect that he sold his chametz on Pesach, when in fact he sold it just minutes before he was allowed to sell, before he wasn't allowed to sell. But the answer is, the Mechaber says, he sold it while it was mutter, and therefore he's protected by the law, so to speak. There's no gzeir of chashad.
Can I just understand this case?
Yeah, sure.
You're talking about here, where he's got an innkeeper, he's got loads of whiskey just before Pesach, but he's in his possession. He obviously can't sell, So is it?
What do you mean he can't sell?
Sorry, he can't sell it as in to.
Sell to the average client.
Right.
Yeah, he's got a massive amount.
So he's got to find a way. So he's allowed. So Chazal tells us he's allowed to sell it to a goy.
En masse, the whole kit and caboodle.
So why is there some sort of chashash that somebody will can, like, why would they know?
Well, again,
that he's got this standing waiting, but it's not. It's all going to be in storage.
No, he's saying that the case that we're dealing with, and that's what the Mechaber is addressing, is a case of Nikra Shem Balav Olav. Again, you can rack your brains and figure out how that Metzius exists. That's not his problem.
Right.
But the reality is that
it's
everyone knows that this is Yankel Beryl's wine cellar, or whiskey cellar, and that cellar with a C. I mean, not that he, not cellar with an S.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, John Paul Jones is in charge. It must be that he sold it to John Paul Jones. Well, when did that sale take place? Well, wait a second. Yesterday, or this morning, we were all going into that cellar. We all knew it was in Yacht. All of a sudden, the guy is there. You know when he sold it? He sold it on Pesach. If, on the other hand, it'll be consumed before Pesach, that's something different. Let's say I sell a perishable object to a guy, which is chametz before Pesach, then there's no chiddush. I don't need the mechaber to tell me I'm allowed to do that, because that's a perishable. By the time you get to Pesach, it's gone. You know, I sell a loaf of bread to John Paul Jones, he's going to eat it that morning. But here we're talking about massive amount of whiskey, of chametzdika whiskey, and it's stored in this big otzar. And there's no way, no how, that the guy, even though a guy likes whiskey, you know, they enjoy whiskey a lot. I mean, the Jews also enjoy whiskey, but maybe not as much as the guy. And yet, he can't finish it up. It's just a tremendous volume of whiskey. And everybody says, wait a minute, when did this Jew sell this this whiskey cellar? So they might suspect that he sold it on Pesach. You don't have to worry about that. The fifth hour is mutar b'ano. You're allowed to sell it, and if you want to cut your losses, get your best guy here on the market there very quickly, pronto, and get him to sign this document, and then you avoid having to throw out all your whiskey, because if you leave the whiskey in your possession, you don't sell it, it becomes what's called chametz sha'avrolav ha'pesach. He's going to have to get rid of him. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go on, because again, we have a lot to accomplish, and I just can't answer all your questions. I can just try, again, please try to focus on the text. This is a textual shia, and I want you to try to understand every word. So ask me questions about the words. If you see a word or a phrase that you don't understand, like before we had the phrase of Shmo Shel Bailav Olav. So ask me what that phrase means. Now count down to the fourth line in the Mechaber, and he says the following: V'yachol la'achilo lebehema chaya va'of. He's allowed during the fifth hour to use this chametz to feed his animals. And the Mechaber mentions three different categories of animals. You have your classic behema, and then you have a chaya. A chaya is more of a non-domesticated animal. And then you have an oaf, you have a bird. Now, once again, you have to ask yourself the following question. Is the animal going to consume the chametz before Pesach? And the answer is, it's irrelevant. I don't care whether it does. The Mechaber doesn't make any stipulations here. I don't have to put the chametz into the mouth of the animal and make sure it chews it up immediately. However, there is one problem. And here we have a restriction. Ubilvad, but on the condition sheyamod alehem liros shelo yatzniu mimenu, he's got to make sure that the animal doesn't hide the chametz. Why? He's in charge of what's called tashbisu, which means beer chametz. He has to guarantee that there's no chametz in his house. Imagine the following scenario. On the night going into to Erev Pesach, that's early Yudalit, he does a bedikah, and then tomorrow he's got a bag of chametz and he feeds it to his animal. The animal runs into his house and hides the chametz. Well, his bedikah is now worthless. He's going to have to do a repeat bedikah. V'yavar mashashiru mimenu. Make sure that if they leave over any of the chametz before they get to hide it, you know, all sorts of weasels and rodents have their little cubbies, you know, where they hide food. Make sure that you get a hold of that chametz, stand over the animal to make sure that if there's any shirayim, we're not talking about chasidus shirayim from the Rebbe, we're talking about shirayim from a behema chayev ha'ov. Make sure that you get a hold of that shirayim, clean it all up, and burn it. Otherwise, if you don't do that, then the animal might have hit, it might go ahead and hide it. And that's a violation of what's called bal yachmid, and he's got to do another bedikah. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here, number
hey.
Ubelvad sheyamid oleya v'din zeh shayach gam kein kodem elu hashtei shos. Don't think that this halacha that you have to supervise the animal is limited to those last two animals. The last 2 hours. But rather milel yudal v'eluch. In other words, once he finishes bedikah, from that moment on, he's going to have to be very careful and make sure the animal doesn't take any chametz and hide any chametz. Now, again, it's very hard to set up, get protection and, you know, have a security system that's going to circulate around your house. You know,
I mean, realistically, we're not talking about in the house. We're talking about animals that are on or around you, but in your
probably shirts. The worst case is animals that are domesticated. But the truth is, even if it's a non-domesticated animal, once you feed the animal, you got to know where that chametz ended up. So the chametz that was consumed by the animal, that's fine. You have no problem with that. But what about the shirayim, the leftover chametz? Where did that go? And if I can't find that leftover chametz, I'm in deep trouble because my bedikah is worthless now. And this is like the case in the Gemara where you saw an achbar, you saw a mouse going into the house with chametz. Again, that's not a Dr. Seuss book. But if the mouse went into the house with chametz, then you have to double check the house and look for that chametz. And in fact, we're going to have a whole discussion. What happens if you find one piece of chametz? Can you assume that that's the piece of chametz that the animal took in? Maybe you want to assume that that's a different piece of chametz until you clean out the whole house. And you might have to do a completely new bedikah. We have to be very careful after the bedikah to make sure that there are no animals taking chametz into the house and hiding them somewhere in the house. And that's going to be very relevant in the fifth hour, because in the fifth hour, when you realize that you got to get rid of your chametz, because in a few minutes it's going to be awesome, you feed your animal. But wait a second, where are the shirayim that the animal didn't eat? So the best situation would be, ideally, if the animal consumes the entire chametz that you gave it. But if the animal doesn't consume it, where is the part of the chametz that was not consumed by the animal? Do you know where it is? If you don't know where it is, you're really in deep trouble, because you might have to do a repeat bedikah. Wow. Believe me, that's the last thing you want to do at 10 a.m. on Erev Pesach. You know what I mean? That's an upcoming, that's already a headache that you don't want to. So make sure that you supervise the animal, not to create a scenario called the lost chametz. You know, shirayim from my Betsy the cow. Where did those shirayim go? I can't find shirayim. That's not the situation you want to find.
Why didn't Chazal go for animals like this? That the time limit is even earlier. Like, everything seems to be this cut off, which in any event is earlier than actual Pesach, I assume.
Right,
we're talking. It's only a derisa's level when
at noon.
Pesach comes in.
And now we're adding an hour and then a second hour. The first hour.
The derisa from noon? Or is that
the derisa from noon?
Oh,
and now we're adding 1 hour, which is the sixth hour, otherwise known in our clock as 11 a.m. And that hour is chametz, mamish chametz, according to the Rabbanon. And then the Rabbanon added an earlier hour, which is called the fifth hour, but only as far as achil is concerned. So you have to desist from eating your chametz in the fifth hour, but you're allowed to have hanon. And during that fifth hour, you can sell it to a guy, or you can feed your...
So that's only a
Shvus Rabbonim. Right, Rabbonim. Right. Yeah. It's called Gzeirah Rabbonim. Shvus is more for Shabbos, for the word.
Yeah, it's not interchangeable.
And your head is in Shabbos, I
see. I know.
Okay. Ubilad, yeah, fine. Now, Ubitchila Umitchilas Shah Shishas. I'm in the Mechaber, on the last line in the Mechaber. He says, Mitchilas Shah Shishas Ulamala Asrua Gam Behano. So once the clock hits 11 a.m., which is called the sixth hour, at that point, no selling the chametz, no feeding it to an animal. It's pure chametz. It has to be destroyed. It's also not only b'achila, but also behano. Albeit b'rabbanan, but the Rabbanan imposed on it the status, the full status of chametz.
Does that mean the fact that this is the Rabbanan, does that mean that if something happens between this hour and the Oraita hour, you may have some leeway, or no? The Rabbanan?
Yeah, I don't know if any leeway. You might talk about a suffix situation. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Now let's take a look at two things here. First of all, we want to look at the Mishnah Berurah number Vav, which is line 6. And then we want to look a little bit at the Be'er Halacha of the same author. And he writes in number 6, Gzera Atu Shah Shvius. We're worried about the 6th hour, because you might confuse the 6th hour with the 7th hour. 7th hour is noon. The Asim and Ator Bano, because at that moment, when the clock strikes noon, the Shah Shvius enters, it's Asim and Atorah, both Bachila and Bano. We cannot overemphasize that point.
This is my question.
Also, yeah.
What?
No, I think this answers my question.
Okay, if it answers your question, I'm very happy. Yeah. I'm almost thrilled. Valkane, Asur, Oz, Limachro, Liaku, and again, it's an all-encompassing Iser Hano. You can't sell it, you can't give it as a gift, you can't feed it to your animals. In Yesh Likvar Mes the Arab Pesach HaBoker, if he has to bury the dead on the morning of the 14th of Nisan Arab Pesach, in Yesh Hus Likovro Vishoyer Zman Lachilas Chomets, if he could set up the burial at, let's say, 7 a.m., 8 a.m. in the morning, such that he'll be able to finish the mitzvah of burying the dead, and he still has time for eating his chametz, and this is all before the 5th hour, is yikru ames kodem achila. Then he's required to do the kvura before he eats. He's not allowed to postpone the kvura. Da'eino nachon livnei achabura lechol kodem kvuras ames. Bnei HaChabura is referring to those who are involved in burying the dead. Let's say, for example, what we call the Chevra Kaddisha. They should not be eating before Kfuras HaMes. But the Im Hazman Dachuk, if it's getting really late, the Efshan is possible, Shlo Yishayer Zman L'Achila, he won't be able to bury the dead and still leave himself ample time for eating. Is then mutav lechol mikodem, let him eat before the kvura, ulekayim achrikach bir chametz bizmano. Because again, we want him to have the option of eating up his chametz, so we're going to allow him to eat the chametz before the kvura, postponing the kvura in effect for a short period of time. The achrikach yisasku b'tzorchei kvuras hametz, and after he's finished with the entire enterprise of eating what chametz is left, destroying what chametz is left, then he will dedicate himself to bury the dead. So again, if all things are equal, which comes first, burial or eating the chametz? Burial comes first. We do not delay burial for the sake of enjoying the food. But if on the other hand, the chametz, if the hour is late and he won't be able to have an opportunity to eat the chametz after the kvura, then we're going to allow him to eat the chametz before the kvura. Just 1 minute. I'm sorry. I just want to clear my head about something. Just 1 second. Sorry, Phil.
No, it's okay.
Just want to make sure my head is twisted on right here. Just 1 second. I'm almost there. Almost. Okay, yeah. What's your question?
He's forbidden from eating. He's just forbidden from eating chametz. Why would that interfere with the burial? The burial should always come first. He could still eat afterwards. He just can't eat chametz afterwards.
Right, and he might come chas v'shalom to violate the
because they fear the chashash that he would eat it.
Also, he's allowed to eat chametz at that time. So, if this is going to be the last opportune moment for him to eat chametz, we're going to encourage that to happen. Okay. Now, we're up to the Mechaber. We're up to the Ramah. Yeah. So we finished the Mechaber, we finished the Mishnah Berurah up until this Ramah. And now we're ready for the comment of the Ramah. Now, let me just add the following question here to our discussion up until this point. What happens with chametz that was sold to a guy after the Shas Iser, meaning he missed the deadline and he sold his chametz, let's say, at 12 noon or 1 in the afternoon? He's not allowed to do so, but he went ahead and he did so. What happens with the event? Is that sale valid? And the nafkamina is also going to be whether or not he can eat that chametz if he gets it back. Is it chametz shalafra pesa? So take a look for a moment at the Bir Halacha on the bottom right. It says Asru Gam Bahano. You have such a thing?
Yes.
Upashit, he says it's simple. The Oz Asur Limkar Lenachri. Once you hit the sixth hour, you're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to sell it to a guy. Damachira Gufa Nechav Hano. Selling something is Hano. And now in the sixth hour, it's Asur Bahano. Achem, Bidiyevin in Machar. What happens if he went ahead and he sold it? He shouldn't have done so. And he definitely should get patched for that. Is Mitzadeh in Prima Godin? The Mahani. This sale is valid. So again, L'chatchila, he was not allowed to sell his chametz, but he went ahead and he sold it. What's the status of this sale, Bidiyevin? Do we validate this sale? Comes along the Prima Godin. And he says, yes, the sale is valid. And that's very significant. Why? The Mahani al Kolponim de Liachra Pesach lo Yehei, going on to the next page, Nikra Chomit Shalvala Pesach. If the sale is valid, then there was no violation of Bali Rabbi Motzei. The Jew did not own the Chomit during Pesach. And now the Chomit still remains Mutta. V'chein Pesach b'sefer binyan olam, u'b'tshu v'shol meshiv, but yesh achron shemitzadim, shafilu achar shesh, Nami b'di'evin and machar lo nikra achakach chometz sha'oval of a pesach me achar dilakama poskim lo ovar al balyara ad halayla. So now he quotes a group of achronim that have the opinion that even after the sixth hour, b'di'evin, if he sells the chometz, it's not called chometz sha'oval of a pesach. Why? So that's based on a shita that chametz is asur on erev Pesach only midin tashbisu. The Torah commands you to get rid of the chametz. But as far as the lav of Bali Rabbi Yimotzi is concerned, you don't violate that lav until the evening, until the emergence of Yontif, after Tzeisach Kochavim. Now he went ahead and he sold his chametz during that period of time from Chatzos before Tzeisach Kochavim. Do we recognize the validity of that sale? And according to these achronim, the answer is yes. Therefore, there's no violation of any Isur here as far as Bali Rabbi Yimotzi is concerned. Chametz Shavu Lo Pesach is only Asur because of the violation of Bali Rabbi Yimotzi. Here in this case, there was no violation of Bali Rabbi Yimotzi. Why? I mean, the man's in his possession of chametz after 12 noon on Erev Pesach. Why is that not a violation of Bali Rabbi Yimotzi? So these achronim make a split between Tashbisu and Bali Rabbi Yimotzi. Tashbisu is chal achilek at noon. But the Iser of Bali Rabbi Yimotzi is only chal and only emerges after Tzeisach Kochavim with the beginning of nighttime. So therefore, if he went ahead and he sold his chametz during that period of time between noon and nightfall, the chametz does not become chametz she'ovel of a Pesach, meaning there was no violation of Bali Rabbi Yimotzi.
That's a leniency, for sure.
But hang on, Hanoah is not part of the... It's different. Because they were saying just before the Machabes seems to be saying before that there's a Mishnah Berurah that the Issa of Hanat starts from Chatzos.
Correct. That's the Torah's now Tashbisha, not
selling something.
Not me din Issa.
If he's selling something, he's getting a no from there. He's getting money from it.
Correct, but that's not Chomet Shavu Leva Pesach. Chomet Shavu Leva Pesach means he violated Bal Yiroba Imotze. He was possessing his chomets. He kept his possession of a chomets during Pesach. And therefore he's in violation of Bal Yiroba Imotze. For that, we're going to tell him he's not allowed to benefit from his chomets after Pesach. But if he doesn't, violate Bal Yiroba Imotze because his ownership over the Pesach, over the chomets was on Erev Pesach, and Bal Yiroba Imotze only emerges with Leil Pesach, then it's not called Chomet Sha'ova Leva Pesach.
Even though there's Ano, which is
right, because he didn't violate Bal Yiroba Imotze. I am Benod B'Yehuda, U'B'Shagas Aryeh, I am B'Shari Tshuva, U'B'Nishmas Adam. He gives you a whole long list of Mara Makomos.
The Bal Yira is a Gezer Durabon?
No, not at all. Bal Yira, two Lavin Dor Reis. The Rambam holds you get two sets of
Mara. But yet they hold that Hanor and Bal Yira start at completely different times.
Correct. Because the Isra Hanor starts with Tashbisu, not with Bal Yira Bayimotze.
Tashbisu, how did you find that
exactly? Tashbisu means destroy your chametz. Don't benefit from it. And you have to destroy your chametz midday on the 14th. But the Bal Yira Bayimotze Lav doesn't kick in until nightfall.
But he hasn't destroyed it. He was an
So he's in violation of Tashbisu, right, by selling his chametz. That's a no-no. We're going to give him a patch on his hand. But it's not chametz shavu leva pesach because he didn't violate Bal Yiroba Imotze. This is again only if you assume that Bal Yiroba Imotze it begins with nightfall. Right. If you assume that Bal Yiroba Imotze, like Tashbisu, begins with Chatzos Hayom, with the midday point, that's noon, then it's chametz shavu leva pesach if he sells the chametz past noon. But now we're holding that as far as Bal Yiroba Imotze is concerned, there's no Bal Yiroba Imotze until nightfall, and it's not a package deal that if there's Tashbisu, then ipso facto there's Bal Yiroba Imotze. Tashbisu l'chud and Bal Yiroba Imotze l'chud. Tashbisu is chal with noon, with achilek, what's called, on midday, but the Bal Yiroba Imotze Isur is postponed until nightfall.
Now, can you just explain
that? I just want to know, is the Mishnah Berurah willing to rely on this? Let's just see. I just want to see if he, he's quoting a sheet of that, until you get to till the old lady sings, you know what I'm saying? He says, I am Benod B'Yehuda, B'Shak Zari B'Chujun. He gives a whole list of them. And he says, Hecha shehishlich achar chatzos eschemtzol shusarabim im mutter achar pesach lachs over lizkos po ein lekamon. I'm finishing the Bir Halacha. Since I figure we started, we might as well finish it. That's not a bad policy, is it?
No,
oh, good. Great. No, as long as you're okay with me, I'm just going to finish this Bir Halacha. And the Bir Halacha wants to know what happens if a person takes his chametz and he throws it out to Rosh Hashanah. And he did this after Chatzos Hayom. So in essence, the question once again becomes whether or not he violates Bal Yiroba Imotze. And therefore he quotes a whole bunch of shittas that say that this chametz is going to be mutter after Pesach, because on Erev Pesach he took his chametz and placed it in a Rosh Hashanah. And that means that he...
This is after Chatzos.
After Chatzos, Erev Pesach, in that time period between Chatzos and Tzeisach Kochavim, he takes his chametz and he throws it out into Rosh Hashanah. Like he makes a statement, anybody wants it, take it. And the question is, did he violate Bal Yiroba Imotze? And the answer is, it depends on this discussion that we had before. According to that group of Achronim that was quoted at the beginning of this paragraph, there's no Bal Yiroba Imotze until nightfall. And here it's before nightfall, so he doesn't violate Bal Yiroba Imotze. He violates the mitzvah of Tashbisu, because Tashbisu requires of him to get rid of his chametz with chatzos, and that he didn't do.
To possession, Bal Yiroba is really possession, and according to these the Rishonim,
right, these
that doesn't take effect. That Issa doesn't take effect
until nightfall.
Until nightfall.
Right. Again,
so
it's
can't eat it.
You can't eat it. You can't sell it.
But it seems like,
but only because
like
of Tashbisu.
Bases, by the time Tashbisu comes along, that should really be your last step to cover all your
right
bases.
And the Rabbanan an hour earlier, right? Because the Rabbanan extended it. Right. Tashbisu is achilek in the middle of the day, but the Rabbanan ate it another hour. So you're going to have to get rid of your chametz in the fifth hour. Your last.
The threifus chametz that Tommy get now, that that was brought forward an hour from the...
Correct, 1 hour. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 2 hours, but we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, 1 hour.
Okay.
So an hour before Chatzos.
That's why I call 11 a.m. on a perfect clock. Again, right. It's not really 11 a.m., but...
Which is why we take this so seriously in terms of getting rid of...
Getting rid of your chametz. Yeah, before, by 11 a.m., you've got to get rid of your chametz. The Ramah says the following. We're back on page 32. The last line, he says, Vishas Shnasa Ibur. Like this year, it's an Ibriyar, right? So we have an extra Adar. And as a result, Hayom Aroch. Because it's going to start getting dark later and later, meaning the light is going to continue to extend. Like, for example, we're already up to, let's say, Shkia now is about 6 o'clock. Not long ago, it was 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get later and later. Mm-hmm. So it's a long day. Yeah. It's almost like Pesach is in the summertime. You know, classically we think of a long day in the summertime. But
so
now...
6 weeks from now, or 7 weeks from now, so it'll really change.
Yeah, it's going to change, and then they're going to change the clock. He says... Elu ha'arba shos lefi inyan hayom. When we calculate the hours, it really depends upon what's going on at that particular time. Umuto lechol chametz ad shlish hayom. Okay, how does he come up with shlish hayom? For that, we have to see the Mishnah Berurah. Let's take a look at Zion and Ches. Lefi inyan hayom, haynu deli olam chashvinan hayom l'shtemesei shos. A day is considered 12 hours. U'mevela b'yomim aruchim misharim b'shos gedolos. Right, because the day is very long. Daylight hours are extended, and therefore the hour itself is going to be more than 60 minutes.
Where are you reading now?
This is Mishnah Berurah, four lines up from before the end of the page.
Yeah.
Four lines up.
Lefichah
v'shnasa ibur, three lines up from the bottom of the page. Muto lechol ad shlish hayom. So if it's a long day, then it's ad shlish hayom. Afal bish hayom aroch yoser mishtemes reishos. You'll ask me the following question. If it's a long day, then if you break it up into 12 parts, the month itself is longer. And therefore, he says the following. So he identifies Chomei Shos in this case as Shlish Hayom. Usually, it would be much
more.
He's saying that it's 4 hours into the day, even 5 hours into the day, and it's only a shlish hayom. Usually 5 hours into the day would be a major chunk of the day. It's almost half the day. But because the day is so long, already after a third of the day goes by, meaning a third of the 12 hours goes by, it's already a shlish hayom, which is very, you know, relatively small. It's a small segment, a small fraction. But chametz is already osur. Why? Because we divide up the day into 12 hours, and Shlish Hayom will be
the fourth hour.
Right, the end of the fourth hour, beginning of the fifth hour. Vida, he says, the Lefi Zehu Adin B'Medino Shayom Shalthnei Pesach Tzorim Mechalka Mashtelis Veishos L'Shos Ketanos V'Eino Rashoi Lechol Gak Ad Shlish Hayom Shal Oso Hayom. So he says it works in the opposite direction in the case of those countries that are situated in a latitude where the day before the days before Pesach are very, very short. And therefore when we divide up, you know, 12 hours into Shos Ketanos, then it's
going to be a much shorter time.
Correct. So what time is it now? Okay, we have another 5 minutes. What I want to do in the next 5 minutes is the following. Let's ask a basic question. We've been talking about selling chametz to a guy to avoid any violation of chametz. What happens in the case where the chametz is not owned by a guy, but it's not owned by me either? Let's say it's owned by another Jew. Am I allowed to keep possession of chametz that's owned by another Jew in my house? Now here the question breaks down into two component parts. One part is called the Shomer, otherwise known as Kabbalas Achrayus, which means that I'm not just allowing you to deposit your chametz, and you're a Jew, in my possession, but I'm even going a step further and saying I'm responsible for your chametz. And if it's lost or stolen or destroyed, I have to reimburse you for that. And then we have another case where I just say to you, you know what, I invite you, you want to put your chametz by me, just deposit it. Find yourself a corner of my house. And Shalom Al Yisrael, I'm not interested. I don't want any responsibility whatsoever for your chametz.
So in the first case, he has to sell that chametz, and the second case...
Well, excellent. Wow, Phil, you're ahead of me. Excellent,
owner.
Excellent. You're doing very well. In a case where he accepts upon himself achrayus, then that's a real serious issue of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. Why? Because achrayus is like bios. This is a unique halachic consideration. What does it mean? We have a principle called Dover Agorim Lemomen Kemomento, which means that if I have something that's technically not mine, but if it's lost or destroyed, I'll have to pay out of pocket. It's as if that object is mine. I have quasi bailus ownership over that object.
Is that,
so let's say, for
example,
just let me, because I'm going to lose my chance. What happens if the guy? If a guy puts the whiskey in my possession, that's one issue. What if a Jew puts his whiskey in my possession? Now, if I accept it achrayus, that's upgrade. I don't even have to talk about that. That, as Phil said very well, that's us. Why? Because that's considered davar agorim lemamon, which is kimamon davar. It's like the case in Hegdesh where you designate a certain animal, and if that animal is lost, you're going to have to replace it with another animal. So even though it's a behemoth hegdish, it's considered yours. You have private ownership on it. Here too, that chametz, which technically belongs to you, now belongs to me if I accept it achrayus, because I have to replace it in event that it's lost. However, what happens if I refuse to take achrayus? I don't want any financial obligations. I'm not going to take upon myself something that might make me pay for something. You know what? You're a good guy. You want to put your stuff down, go find a corner, deposit it. I have no achrayus. So it's very interesting that the halacha is extremely careful about this, very harsh, and says that if the chametz belongs to another Jew, even though you didn't accept achrayus, but if it's in your rishus, you got to get rid of it. And this opens up a whole Pandora's box. How can I get rid of your chametz? It's not mine, and I'm destroying your chametz. So if you take a look for one moment, and we'll get into this in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, on page Yud Zayin, which is the equivalent of 33, in Seif Beis, Yisrael, Shahoya Biyado Chemso Shal Yisrael Acher, this Jew is holding on to chametz that belongs to another Jew, Bipikadon, which literally means it was deposited in his possession. Yakvenu ad shachamishis. In other words, the person who the depositee, I don't know what word we can use, the balap, you know, it's not the balapikadon, but the one in whose possession the chametz is sitting, he calls up the owner of the chametz and he says to him, my friend, get rid of your chametz. Pick it up. I don't want your chametz. And for some reason, his friend, deaf ears, or you couldn't get a hold of him, he takes his time, he's very lackadaisical. So hold on to that chametz, but until what point? Ad shah chamishis. Until the fifth hour. Im lo ba bailov, if the owner of the chametz has not come to reclaim his chametz, and now you're in deep trouble because chametz is about to become asur, then yim karen aliyeh Yehudi. He should sell it to a guy. Now keep in mind, what happens is, in this case, if your chametz is in my rishus, I am going to sell your chametz to a guy. And I have to do so. Apparently, I am in violation of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh if I don't do so, even though it's not my chametz. And that means that if I have someone else's chametz in my possession, it's in my domain, it's in what we call my rishus, that's enough to generate an Isur Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. And therefore, it's a shasat chak. I'll have to sell your chametz, and that's going to spare me from violating Ba'yiro Ba'yim Motzi. Why? Because if it's a Chometz Shal Yisrael Acher, if it's the Chometz of another Jew, you're in trouble if you keep that Chometz in your possession.
It seems that if a Jew gives another Jew Chometz to hold, no matter what time of the year, even if it's an ER, there should always be a conditional clause that covers this case.
If I tell you, Phil, deposit your chametz in my possession, it's understood that you're going to have to reclaim that chametz before Pesach. I don't want your chametz in my possession over Pesach. But the chiddush is that not only but I'm now responsible for that chametz, meaning I'm going to be liable for the Easter of chametz, and therefore come the fifth hour, I got to destroy this chametz. I'm going to call you up, I'm going to be very nimusi about it, and the laws of etiquette. I'm going to say, Phil, do me a favor. It's your chametz. Come and collect it. But if you don't come, I'm going to have to sell the chametz because otherwise I become responsible for chametz. Now the chiddush here is, and this is a pell of a chiddush, that I'm responsible for by Rabbi Motzi on your chametz, which I don't possess, and because you're a Jew. If you would have been a non-Jew, I'm not responsible for your chametz, unless I was Makabal Achrayis. Here we're talking about a case where...
So a non-Jew giving to a Jew?
If a non-Jew gives chametz, he deposits chametz in the possession of a Jew, then we ask one question. Did the Jew accept Achrayis? If he did not accept Achrayis, then he has no problem. He doesn't have to destroy that chametz.
The guy is paying him then to hold it, because that could be
excellent. That's already achrayus. Yeah. Again, we have to ask ourselves what level of achrayus shomachinim, where he's not paid, shomachinim, where he is paid. But all that is going to determine the violation of Bal Yerovai Motz in the case of chametz shel aku. But if the chametz is shel Yisrael, I'm not even going to ask the question whether the Yisrael accepted achrayus or he didn't. He said explicitly, "I don't want a chrayus. I'm not a shomer. I'm not gonna take responsibility. You're not paying for me, so why should I do so?" Yeah. Nevertheless, he violates Bal Yerovai Motz. If the chametz is in his possession, and if the owner of the chametz doesn't come to claim his chametz, to collect his chametz, and now it's the Shah Hamishes, then I'm gonna sell that chametz. I'm gonna destroy that chametz. If I can find someone to buy it, I'll sell it. So it's unbelievable that here the halacha tells me two chidushim. Number one, there's a violation of Bal Yerovai Motzi, even though you don't own the chametz, it's clearly owned by another Jew. And if it's in your reshus, that's already Bal Yerovai Motzi. And number two, the halacha is going as far as saying that you can sell that chametz, which doesn't belong to you, in order to...
Can you destroy it as well?
I don't know.
I would.
It says here, Yakvenu. Listen to the language of the Mechaber. It says, Yakvenu at Shach Hamishis, Vimlo Ba Balov, Yim Karenu Li Eino Yehudi.
It doesn't tell.
I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to destroy your chametz. That's going to cause you a tremendous loss. You know, call yourself a raven zealous.
And you have the option to sell it without destroying it.
Now, if I don't have the option of selling it, then I'm really in trouble. Chayav Levaro, that's on the top of page 34.
If there's no Yehudi there.
There's no one available to buy the chametz, and I don't want to violate Bal Yerovai Motzi. So Afilum Eino Chayav Bachrayus. So even though Yisrael never accepted upon himself a chrayus, nevertheless, he has to destroy the chametz if two things don't happen. A, the Yisrael doesn't come to collect his chametz, and B, there's no guy available to buy the chametz. In the absence of those two conditions, he is going to destroy that chametz. Because if he doesn't destroy the chametz, he's in violation of Bal Yerovai Motzi, and the chiddush here is, even though he was not Mekabel HaChrayus. Again, had the chametz been John Paul Jones's chametz, who was owned by a guy, then the issue boils down to one question only: did you, the Yisrael, accept the chrayus? But when it comes to chametz shel Yisrael that's in your possession, even if you didn't accept the chrayus, you are responsible for that chametz, and Bal Yerovai Motzi kicks in. You better get rid of that chametz. If you can call up the owner and have him collect it, fine. If you can't do that, then we're going to go to the next step. We're going to say sell it to a guy. If you don't find any guy available to buy the chametz, then go ahead and destroy it, even though it belongs to someone else. So that we want to pick up in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, and we'll try to clarify.
I've done business contracts for major businesses, and if it was me, I would have a clause in my contract
Again, that's what I'm telling you, Phil. This has nothing to do with contract. Keep in mind, it doesn't matter one way or the other. The question is Yisrael coming to collect his chametz?
Right.
And, you know, I can't force him contractually to come and accept and take the chametz.
No, do you follow what I mean? Say that if you don't come, this is what I'm going
to
do. No, you have
no,
to.
No, I don't have to add
well,
that to a contract.
When in business,
not in Jewish law. I'm telling you now. I'm going
to
call you up, Phil. Okay. I'm going to say, get your tuchus over your parting expression and collect your chametz.
That's
if you
difference.
Don't do so. If I don't find a guy to sell, again, I have to feel for you.
I
feel for you, Phil, and I don't want you to lose all this expensive whiskey. I'm going to try to find a guy and cut your losses. Do damage control. But I'm telling you now, Phil, if you don't come and collect your chametz, it's in the river. It's down the tubes. Because I don't want to be violated by your matzah for your chametz. And it's irrelevant if I write it in the contract or I don't write it in the contract.
I would not want to be responsible under those